biggest idiots deserve the big bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota.
And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Time to give you a shovel. 410-583-1057. We'll get to some calls right after this. But Ryan, who gets your shovel?
All right. My shovel is for a lot of people or fans that were talking to me about not going to the playoff games. The Orioles get in. I sat there and I kind of, you know, turned my head. And the response, and look, I understand. Everyone can choose to go to games and all of that. But the reasoning was, Jeremy, well, the product on the field isn't good for Baltimore. They don't deserve to be in. I'm not going to spend my money to go be a part of that experience. And I go, look, again, it's a business decision. And it's your money and your time. You do what you want to do. But here's my point, Jeremy. The Orioles have only been to the playoffs 6 times in the last 41 years. If they make it this year, it's 7. They're on pace 2 at the moment, right? I think sometimes we get blinded by how hard it is to get to the postseason. And then wasn't it just last year, Jeremy, that the Tampa Bay Rays, a team that was very good, had a lot of injuries, struggled to get in the postseason, and then a lot of people ridiculed the Tampa Bay Rays fan base for not going to the playoff game. And I know they had attendance issues early in the year, but playoff game, and it was a talking point. Man, the Rays fans can't show out for a playoff game. And it just grinds my gears, Jeremy, with that case. And the last thing I'll say with it, moments like this are memories that you can make for you and your families that you don't know what's going to happen, but also don't take them for granted. Meaningful games in September, you don't want to take for granted. Playoff experiences, I grew up not experiencing, remembering a moment until the Orioles made a run in 2012-16 with Buck Showalter and that group, right? So a lot of people, especially in this area, you wait for an opportunity. I know it's frustrating. I know the team's not playing as well as they should. But perspective here, those are moments that if I could go to a playoff game, you can be a part of a playoff atmosphere. I want to do that every single time regardless because there's just no guarantee it's going to happen.
You know, I was just thinking, not that this is a shovel, but as I was looking at Ryan, I don't think Ryan can ever call out of work if he's sick. Especially after what his dad did.
No, like never.
He can never live up to that.
Hey, Greg, growing up, I'll tell you what. I had a tear in my meniscus my senior year of high school. And there was options of, like, surgery or not. And my dad's like, well, do you think you can play? And I'm like, well, I don't want to miss my senior year. He goes, well, that's the answer. And I go, all right, I can't really run, not fast anyway. But that was the motto. Yeah, he set a terrible, good example, but terrible at the same time, right?
It's gosh. So good. Well, my shovel's going to former Raven Shannon Sharp. Oh, is that a different shovel?
It sounded, now.
Had a little. There we go. What happened, Joe? What happened to your shovel?
I was half shovel on that shovel.
So, if you guys missed it, I say this all the time, and Ryan, I think you're one of the perfect guys to talk to about this. I love the fact that former athletes get into this industry and get into the media. I like it better when they're not afraid to talk about certain things, and it's one of the reasons why I've said, look, I'd love to be friends with a lot of the players on the Ravens and have those cool connections and things, and you've experienced that, but I also don't want to be afraid to criticize them when they do something wrong. Mm-hmm. And it kind of hit me, because not that I'm best friends with Ray Rice or anything like that, but when Ray Rice came to town, he's one of the first guys I had interactions with here. He was at the studio. We were watching videos together, YouTube videos, making each other laugh. I think he kept showing me Stella Takes a Fall. Is that big, heavyset girl on the table? We were laughing our asses off over there, and then when the video comes out, you're like, oof, what do I say here? Because he was one of my favorite people, and you can't, I don't know, it just gets difficult at times, and that's something I know you're going to have to juggle because you played alongside these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon Sharp, I'm telling you, he doesn't watch football games, period. He was on social media going, hey, man, he was blaming Lamar for the game this past week and that Lamar's got to get it done, and somebody said, you're not going to say anything about the offensive line? You're not going to say anything about the challenges or things that went on? And he gets into, Lamar's a two-time MVP. He won an MVP with this same offensive line.
Ew.
Did you watch in the offseason? Because they lost 3 of their offensive linemen. And no, he didn't win an MVP with this group. He'd been running for his life last year if he had this group together. And maybe they get better as the season goes along. It's something we have to wait and see. But then he starts to double down on it, and when people throw facts at him, he goes, look, we just got to move on to the Cowboys. Shannon Sharp has said so many things. Now, look, he's a very entertaining guy, but I don't get where we get to this point where we have all these talking heads that you can tell. If you watch the games, you can tell when people don't watch the games. Mm-hmm. And when you make statements like he made online, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely, he's more concerned about getting him having sex on Instagram than he is watching a Ravens game to prove that he's straight. I mean, this is unbelievable when you start to look at these things. Like, and then I feel bad for some of the guys. Dominic Foxworth said that was his last appearance on, what was it, First Take? He goes, hey, you know, he made a joke about that too with Shannon Sharp. He goes, that's my last appearance on First Take. And I'm going, this is a guy that watches the games. This is a guy that breaks it down. He played the game too, and he's very good at what he does. Why aren't we hearing more from him? You know, there have been plenty of players that I just get tired of seeing athletes that get into this line of work, and you can tell they don't watch the games, especially, and I mentioned this, the guys over at Fox Sports, FS1, whatever, all those shows they put together, there's a handful of them that they start breaking down the NBA, and you're like, you guys don't watch the games, do you? So it just makes it, I'm not saying athletes don't belong in this industry at all, because clearly we need them. It's a different perspective you get, but at least take some ownership over what your job is. I realize you've made a ton of money, and you're making a ton of money now, but watch the effing games if you're going to talk about them. Don't be lazy about it.
Yeah, I think the bigger part here is, hey, the perspective that athletes can bring, you know, and this is what I'm trying to do, Jeremy, yeah. Obviously. And by the way, minor league players didn't make any money, so I can't be in that category, right? So, but what they try to bring is the behind the scenes of what can happen. But the thing that you want to bring is what they need to do better and be objective. Some of these cases, don't make claims and talk about it and criticize. And one, take away that experience that makes you different from being in there with Shannon's. Like, there's no other points of, hey, Shannon, talk about in those moments there and then talk about what went wrong in the game. It's not doing either. And now you're sitting there going, man, you feel a disconnect. And yes, Shannon's very entertaining, but it's to that point that you said, you just want to feel objective. Like I told Dean Kramer last year, I said, hey, love you, buddy. Can we let down on those first inning home runs?
Yeah.
Because you're hanging pitches over the middle part of the plate. That's a reality. That's a fact. But I love the guy. But you just got to be honest with those conversations. I think that's just what people want. They just want you to be honest with it.
And again, I love listening to Shannon Sharp. I love watching him on there.
Same.
He's very engaging, and I think he's entertaining. But again, when you start talking about these games and it's obvious that you're not watching, you didn't even watch the offseason to know who's here. I mean, it's the same thing when Stephen A. Smith was screaming about a Kansas City Chiefs running back being dominant in the playoffs and he hadn't been on the team in 3 years. Like, what are we doing? All right, let's grab a call here real quick. Ethan is in Pennsylvania, wants to comment on Elias. What's up, Ethan?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. You know, I respect Elias. We're all very thankful that we are at this point. All to him and what he's done. But he is responsible for the product of the lifelessness of the second half of this team. It's insulting, I think, to us as fans that Kimbrel is still on this roster. And you can cherry-pick trades like Tatis for Shields while at the same time looking at the Cubs trading away Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman at the time, which yielded them a World Series win.
But there's no guarantee of that, though, either, because that same year, the Guardians traded for Andrew Miller and didn't win.
Correct, but I think being in an attempt to try to be the smartest guy in the room and you get too cute to try and fix cast-offs and Eloy Jimenez and Austin Slater and half the Phillies bullpen.
Can I ask you a quick question then? And I get it. Like, people wanted the player. Would you be willing to give up 3 or 4 or 5 of the Orioles' top prospects to get one of those arms? Because that's what it was going to take to get one of the top arms available.
Like Scooble or Snell.
Scooble or Snell was going to take Basayo, Jackson, Norby, or one of Basayo and Jackson, and then 3 or 4 other guys, and then maybe another veteran player. Would you be willing to sell all of that right now for the next 6 years?
Well, I think looking at it now, the starting pitching, I think, isn't even our biggest woe.
I agree.
If you look at the Royals, they got Urcig for not a crazy amount. Or if you look at a position player, just to get some aura, just to get some vibes in Jazz Chisholm, the Yankees didn't give up anything too crazy for him.
I think that's a great, the Urcic trade was actually a great example right there. Thank you. I mean, and I get the point there, Jeremy and Ethan. It's a great point. And I think it, at some points, good or bad.
But that's also cherry picking the one that you can point out that worked out this year, because there's plenty of other trades where you're like, what did we get?
Well, and the one thing to go to your last point, I know we got to get to break, you know, the Orioles, in this case, Zach Eflin, right now, is probably, arguably, one of the top trades in all of baseball, mm-hmm. right? They hit on that one. And I know you can look and say some of the other ones didn't work. Zach Eflin has a 2.22, say that three times fast, ERA since he came to Baltimore. And last year, the big move wasn't Max Scherzer getting traded to Texas. It was Jordan Montgomery getting traded, who we saw what happened this year. But Jordan mm-hmm. Montgomery last year, Max Scherzer wasn't in the equation. Montgomery became the guy. So there's just no guarantee that the moves are going to play out, to your point, Jeremy.
Well, yeah, another thing here, and again, like, to each their own and what we want to talk about as far as trades go. But like, it's easy to sit here and look at that and say this worked, that didn't work, and what should happen. Realistically, if you want to talk about Eloy Jimenez and Austin Slater, they didn't give up anything for those guys. Mm-hmm. So, like, adding them doesn't hurt you. So, all right, we got more calls that we're going to get to. Bob, wait patiently, and Antonio, I'll get to you guys in the next segment. We are going to talk about Tua was placed on the IR. He's getting medical opinions about his future. All the people saying that he should go away from football and quit football, he's walking away from a lot of money if he walks away. If he stays around and does what he's doing now, mm-hmm. there's a chance he could get an insurance settlement and still get paid. But we're going to get into this. Should he retire if doctors tell him to? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. All right, welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. Ryan Ripken, Jeremy Kahn, Rob Long, Ed Norris off this week. Going to talk a little bit about Tua, and then we'll jump back into these phone calls. You know, the story came out about Tua being placed on IR. He's getting a medical opinion on his future. There were a lot of former players that spoke up. I don't know if you guys saw Manti Te'o speak about this.
Yeah.
Because he was childhood friends and he knows their family. He started crying, mm-hmm. talking about his brother, and he hates seeing him like that. Because when Tua, and again, I'm not blaming Tua, but you got to protect yourself too and understand that this is what I, like, it's not cut and dry like this, but I would always say to my kids when I'm coaching them, if you pick up the fourth foul, you're sitting next to me. You know, in the first half, if you pick up the third foul, you're sitting next to me. Am I better off with them getting a bucket and you not getting a stupid foul and you staying in the game? Because I think your plus minus is way better than that kid's. You know, it's one of those things that you have to judge. And with Tua, by the way, he had already picked up that first down and still didn't slide. He was past it. Maybe he didn't realize it. Yep. And he's still trying to get all he can. It's in the moment. But we've seen a couple of these ugly ones. And I don't know that anybody can tell Tua what he should do. He's obviously going to do what's best for his family. I don't think he should retire unless it's a medical retire. Mm-hmm. That way he gets his money.
Yeah, there's a lot left on the plate there. And that, people saying, oh, it's not all about the money. You're right, it's not. But hopefully, too, if the medical staff and neurologists are saying, hey, you need to retire, then there should be a way to work out the settlement in that case. So for those that don't know, Tua did sign that big extension, mm-hmm. and he's still got a lot of money left on there. So if he voluntarily retires, he will not get that money. And quite frankly, pay the guy. Yeah. Pay the guy and let him retire if that's the case. I think that would be the best situation. But what we're hearing, Jeremy, Tua wants to hear what the neurologist says. He wants to continue to play. And I think that is the point. It ultimately is his and his family's decision, regardless of what everyone else hopes or wants him to do.
I think that's where we're at. And Joe was whispering in my ear as soon as we did the Tua thing. I think the phone lines lit up. And so we'll get back to some Tua talk here, but I want to hear from some Oriole fans that have been waiting patiently. First off, Bob in Timonium. Bob, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Doing well.
Hey, I want to make a comment on what Ryan was talking about, the playoffs, World Series, whatever. In 1966, I was 12 years old, and a guy named Frank Robinson came into this town, and he took two 19, maybe 20-year-old pitchers to beat the Dodgers in four games. And all through my life, me and two of my buddies, we used to go to a lot of playoff games, World Series, and I was blessed to see a lot of great baseball. My two buddies are gone now, but I still have all those memories. Just want to make that comment.
Bob, I think that's awesome, man. I appreciate the phone call. Sorry for your loss, man. But yeah, like, I talk to a lot of people. It's one of the things that I'm actually trying to develop more with my kids is I want to experience some of these sports memories. You know, working a ton in this industry, you can mm-hmm. get some opportunities to go to things. And I always try to take, now my kids are 22 and 21. So it's like, I can have a beer with them if I want, which is weird. But also, like taking him to games and kind of my younger son doesn't care as much, but like my older son loves sports. And so like, you know, having him go to baseball games with me, go to football games, go to any types of events, to try to, you know, build some of those memories.
Yeah. And Bob, again, sorry for your loss, but what I loved is you got to have those memories. And that's what you talk about, that all those years later, that's what you hold on to and remember. And even for me, playing wise, just to put that all in perspective, yeah, I remember the bad moments and I remember some great moments, but it's really the people that you got to experience that with is what it happens. And sports has a tremendous way of showing that.
Absolutely. Let's go to Wayne and Dundalk. Wayne, you're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. Ryan.
Good morning.
Hey, real quick, I just want to talk about a 2 points real quick about the playoffs. I did buy my tickets the other day. I spent $600 on 2 tickets to 3 different games. But it's for the memories, man. Me and my girlfriend, we've been to like 20 games this year. You go to the playoffs, you never know what's going to happen. It's just like the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl. Both times, they were the wild card team. So you never know when a team could get hot, you know what I mean? But to Elias, I called last week defending him when the loud mouth on the afternoon show was talking about him. But all these injuries, Mountcastle, Westberg, Urias, they were all after the trade deadline. But I just think that things happen this year. But I also, guys, think that we have to be positive, man, because you can't just we got to stop jumping on somebody when something goes wrong. You know, you can't foresee it. You know, Elias couldn't foresee the injuries. You know what I mean? We have a lot, almost a whole starting rotation on the injured list this year. And it's just like we have to understand and be real about things, man. We have to get behind the team that we have right now. You know, and just roll with them. If they make it, they make it. If not, then we got a couple years, you know what I mean, to be happy about. And just sometimes we got to take a look back at where we were 5, 6, 7 years ago and be thankful for what we do have today. And you guys have a great day, man. Thanks.
Appreciate the call. Let's grab Antonio, who's in Rosedale. Antonio, you're on the Fan. What's up, man?
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Oh, but what are you?
I'm doing good. Sorry about that.
That's okay, buddy.
No worries.
It's live radio, and things happen, man.
What was worse in last night's game, Craig Kimball or Alan Hitting, and you guys have a wonderful day?
Oh, God. Like saying, do you want the flu or do you want diarrhea? Like, I mean, come on. That's
Or you just have both at the same time.
Yeah, you can get COVID and have both. The Craig Kimbrell thing is done to me. You know, I'm still kind of surprised that he hasn't found that Ubaldo Jimenez pothole in the parking lot where his ankle rolls magically. But again, like he just and Ryan, you and I were going over in the commercial break. Like when you looked, people were bitching that he didn't make the All-Star game over Clay Holmes.
Yep.
And now both of them were out of the closer role for right now, as it seems. I don't know if Clay Holmes will get back into it. But when your manager says, I'm just trying to find spots where I can put him in, that's kind of telling you he only wants to put him in, like, no high leverage spots at all. Like, the game has to be way out of hand with them being up or you being up for him to get an opportunity right now.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot else that's going on that we don't know about. But what I will say is a closer that is aging, a pitcher that's aging, and if his body's a little bit off, we know now mentally you have to be that much sharper, and he hasn't been. Numbers up until June, sensational. Go look him up. They were great. His month of June, he had a 0.96 ERA, and then it turned off here. And you wanted to hope and give him chances to get back, but the reality is now, Jeremy, it doesn't look like there's going to be a spot for him. And it's a shame. He's had a great career. But for Baltimore, it's in the best interest probably to find a different option.
Absolutely. All right, we've got a couple things coming up. World of Stupid coming up at 7:45. Diddy had how much lube? All right, we're going to get into that. But up next, the Ravens. Do you think they lack an offensive identity on this team? We're going to take some calls, 410-583-1057. We'll get to you, Shiloh, and get your calls as well as we break down the Ravens' offense next here on The Fan.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, buy 2 windows from Window Nation and get 2 free. Plus, 0 down and no interest or payments for 2 years. Schedule an estimate now at 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
We definitely are trying to take this offense to another level. being able to do stuff on the field with Lamar. Lamar, you know, I would say Lamar has the keys to the offense. He's the driver of that car, you know, and he drives it on the field. You know, Todd's calling the plays. Staff is putting the plan together. But Lamar has a lot of tools at his disposal. So that's going to continue to grow and improve, and we're going to build on that as we go. I think Lamar's doing a very good job with it, and I'm excited about what we can do with it.
That's John Harbaugh talking about this offense. One of the things, I'll throw this at you, Ryan Ripken, Jeremy Kahn here on the Big Bad Morning Show, and Rob and Ed are off this week. And Ryan, you just told me you're going to be back in tomorrow, so we get a little bit more. A little bit more rip for us, Joe. Yeah, look at that. Fist pump in the air. Yeah, he's all excited, man, to have you back. Look at that smile.
Look at that. I can't get enough of that Joe LaCroix smile, I'll tell you what.
He never smiles either.
The ripping and the tearing.
Yeah, the ripping and the tearing.
Tarps off.
Am I the tearing?
Tarps off, baby.
Yeah, you're the tearing.
The Ripken and the tearing. Yeah, that's nice. I don't know if I can do that dance like that guy, too.
Jeremy Kahn. Nailed it.
And you just put that all together. So I went on Ken McCusick's podcast yesterday, and it was 2 hours of just talking basically offense.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I kind of walk away from that we discuss is, are they being predictable? Meaning, when Derrick Henry's in the game, are you just handing the ball to Derrick Henry? When Justice Hill's in the game, are you throwing the football? Are there any design runs? And maybe it doesn't matter as much, because like I'd sit here and say, even if you told them you're giving Derrick Henry the ball, maybe not at this point of his career, but maybe there was one point where it's like, I don't care, stop it. See what you can do, because he's going to keep moving forward and falling forward and picking up yards. But I do think there's something to it, which leads me to believe, like, if you're going to set that up, you got Derrick Henry in the game, run a play action pass, like fake the handoff to him. Those safeties, those linebackers are all coming forward because nobody wants to see him in open space. You want to get him where he can't go anywhere, and maybe you get a little help tackling him as well. So I looked at some of those things, and it's kind of frustrating. I hear what Harbaugh's saying there about Lamar's got the keys. I don't know if this is him finally kind of, I don't want to say passing the buck to let everybody know, like, yeah, he has carte blanche to do whatever he wants with that offense. I don't know if that's the case. Do you call in two plays and he has a choice whether he wants to go run or pass? Is it that? I mean, we're not privy to it. I don't know. But there's still a lot of things in this offense I'd like to see happen, including Lamar get better at hitting receivers in stride, especially downfield. I think that's why he and Rashad Bateman have a disconnect.
Yeah, and if you look at some of the plays, I mean, Rashad Bateman, even if you go back, he does a good job at separating. He really does. He gets open. Now, it's got to be, you got to be in sync. It's also about having that chemistry, and also you got to have a clean pocket depending on what the route is or how deep Rashad's running. But yeah, you're right. It's those points that you bring up. I mean, look, the Ravens are always going to have the identity to run the football, right? That's what you want to do. You got the monster King Henry in the backfield, right? You have Lamar Jackson. But to your point, that isn't that consistently the conversation, Jeremy, where we want to see the offense passing-wise become a little bit more prolific? Not that it's got to be, you know, the West Coast, everything's, you know, firing on all cylinders, but there are moments for that you can see that, hey, there needs to be certain growth that still isn't there yet.
Well, the other problem, too, with running some aspects of the West Coast offense is if you're going to throw things underneath the sticks, you have to give your receiver a chance to catch it and turn upfield.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched a lot of plays this past week with Mark Andrews catching the ball and essentially, I don't want to say falling down, sometimes that's where it was, or receivers that have to turn and basically stop their route to catch it, and now they're looking to where they can go. I talked a lot about Zay Flowers, and it's something we've mentioned here, and also the two tight end sets. When you get the Zay Flowers, if he was on another team, how would they use him? Would they use him more downfield? I love the ball being in his hands because I think he's an explosive player and he's a lot of fun to watch, but I got to say, he's a smaller guy, and you keep working him in the middle of the field and throwing these plays where he can't get out of bounds or get down, he's going to take a lot of hits over a 17-game season, and that does concern me. And on the flip side, when we're talking about the two tight end sets, someone please explain it to me like I'm five. Why can't both tight ends be on the field at the same time on a consistent basis? I think I don't have his numbers in front of me, but like Mark Andrews took 63% of the snaps, and I think Isaiah Likely had, was it 48 or 50-some? So there is some crossover there, but my assumption is when one's off the field, the other one's on it, and that's how they're rotating them. But you've got two valuable weapons here. Why can't Buffalo runs Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid? I mean, we can go back to the Patriots. There have been plenty of teams that run their two tight end sets where both of them are pass catchers.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that conversation in itself, Jeremy, is what I think all Ravens fans see the talent with Likely. You saw it in week one, obviously. You saw it when Mark was out last year. But that was the key I want to say to that phrase was when Mark was out last year. And so far, you have two weapons, Mark and Likely. I know Mark is going to get a little bit older, but he's still, I think, a top tight end. He's a guy, he's a weapon, he's a force, he's a security blanket. But the Ravens have still had trouble utilizing both those guys in the same game. It's one's having a game, the other isn't. And I'm not saying that, oh, they're both going to go for 80 yards, 100 yards. But to your point, the threat of them, you know, you can argue that Baltimore has two. They have the most dynamic tight end room. I think that's pretty fair to say.
Yeah.
With guys that can make playmaking ability on the pass catching side. You know, and I think that that's a part that you want to continue to see evolve, because if the pass game is not going to be there with Bateman or Flowers to the way that people want, then you got to find it in some other ways, and you got the playmakers just putting that formula together.
So, all right, there's a couple things here, too, that I wanted to bring up just regarding it, and we're going to get to all these phone calls, guys. We have a ton of phone calls to get to, and what you're saying about, like, that either or offensive, that's what Rob calls it all the time, without having both tight ends on the field and making plays to both of them. I think the writing's kind of on the wall that Mark Andrews is more than likely a cap casualty at the end of the year, as they're going to have to figure out, as it starts to go up, you paying Lamar, you're going to have to make some tough cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you have an Isaiah Likely in the fold and they draft tight ends well, I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I hope it doesn't happen, but I could definitely see that happening. Oh, we just lost Shiloh. Let's go to Trippy's in Baltimore. Hello. What's up, Trippy? Hello? Oh, no. Trippy's not in Baltimore. He gone. He's got the call back. All right. Let's grab one more call here. Nell is in Owings Mills about the Ravens offense. What's up, Nell?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Really, real quick, I didn't want to, you know, say too much about the offense. I mean, I don't know if they haven't. I think they're trying to learn, you know, as they go, because when you inject Derrick Henry into the lineup, things have drastically changed in that offense. So I feel like it's just a learning, you know, process up until they get to that point. But my problem is, I don't know if the Ravens have a defensive identity anymore. That's my problem. Mm. I'm looking at what's going on out there, and I watched the All-22 yesterday, and I'm like, I don't even know, what were we running? Like, Devontae Adams was running all across the field by himself. It was like, what are we running? And I don't even think Kyle Hamilton and we talk about Kyle Hamilton and Smith. I don't even think they understand what's going on, because Kyle Hamilton doesn't even look the same. I know people think he's still hurt.
Yeah, I think he's playing through an injury.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I mean, but with that, he's still running around like a chicken with his head cut off. I know you guys look at the games and stuff, but it still doesn't look like he knows exactly. Like, he can pinpoint where I'm going to be, you know, what time, who am I getting at. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't look like him like he used to. So I think that's our problem more than likely, because we're scoring points. So that's the
issue. Well, they got to close out games too. And Nell, appreciate the phone call, because like getting in the fourth quarter and being able to run it out, that's another thing. Like, I go back to the Eagles when they were really successful and they had Brian Westbrook in the backfield. They're like, hey man, we can't close out games. You got a smaller running back, and then they stack the box, and it's like, hey, you got to figure out a way to do it. What about throwing some passes there? What about mixing it up or having your quarterback run? There's all different types of way, but that was one of the big knocks on Andy Reid early on in his career. All right, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna step out. We're gonna take some phone calls. Trippy's back. Chris, oh my God, is that the Dave in Salisbury? We're going to, what? No, Joe, he just said go. All right, we're going to take your phone calls coming up next here on The Fan. All right, welcome back. We're going to take some phone calls, so let's just dive into it. We were talking about the Orioles. The Ravens' offensive identity, what is it? Some of the things you're frustrated about. Let's go to Chuck in Bel Air. Chuck, you're on The Fan.
Hey, guys, how you doing this morning?
Good.
Good, how are you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. I'll tell you this, guys. I'm getting just so sick and tired of the same old story year after year with this football team. I mean, I'm starting to think that years ago, man, it wasn't big boy Roman's fault, even though you could blame a lot on him. I think a lot of it's Harbaugh at the end of the day. I mean, you look at it last year, man. In the AFC Championship game, it was the same exact mistakes back in 2019. Like in the AFC, whatever, we played the Chargers, and I think it was the wild card divisional, whatever it was. Just didn't run the ball enough. Like, you don't run the ball enough, you don't pass the ball enough. It's either here nor there every single game, every single season. I mean, the time management is just absolutely awful by Harbaugh.
That's my thing. Yeah. That's like, big for me, because it's every year that we talk about it, and how do you not get better in that facet of the game?
It's just it's ridiculous. And now it's like, you know, I mean, obviously you got Derrick Henry, he's more of a downhill guy. You know, Keaton Mitchell, you know, still recovering. I mean, we get him back, I think that's a big asset. I don't think Justice Hill really fills that role as RB2 super, super well. But I mean, I would argue that this team, if we lose this next game, like, I could see us easily going 0-5 with the next schedule.
Did you know, so something, I appreciate the phone call. One of the things I found out doing Ken McCusick's podcast yesterday was the Ravens are still favored to win this division. Did you know that? That's such a weird thing. Like, it's a pick'em game in Dallas, and I guess until you have your divisional games, because, I mean, you could say, it wouldn't shock me if this team went 6-0 in the division. I know that's a thing to say now after they're 0-2 and they haven't looked great. But not like this. Maybe this division isn't as good as we thought it was at the beginning of the year. So that's kind of surprising me. Let's go get Trippy. Trippy, hello.
Hey, what's going on with y'all?
What's up, man?
What's up, Trippy?
Hey, what's up, bro? Hey, I say, look, this would be the Rip Khan show. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
But look, I wanted to talk about the offense, right? I agree with the caller just said, right? And I think some people looking at me crazy, like, is this Trippy really talking like this? It's the same old stuff. Like, can we get creative? Like, if you want to have Justice Hill, like, can we have Justice Hill and Derrick Henry in the backfield together? Switch it up. Put Deontay Howdy out there. Run some jet sweeps. Open something up. Like, stretch the field out. I'm going to be honest with you. Our offense is stale. I think some of these Pop Warner offenses run a better offense than us. Like, we got to do something, man. I know it's only week two, but we got to do something. I know we ain't bring Derrick Henry in here for this. Yeah, like, come on. Like, Ravens, get it together. John Harbaugh, if you listen to this, get out your stubborn ways, man. Please, man. Please. I'm begging you. Please. Hello. Yeah. All right, man. Y'all have a great
trip. Tripping you too, man. Okay, he's the best. So I go back to this, too, and being predictable on offense. And it's, you know, you remember when we had Dante Stallworth was here? And it was almost like every time he was on the field, he was going to run an end around. I mean, that's what they were using. Hey, Clarence Moore was here, his 6'12" ass, and he comes in the red zone. They're just going to throw a jump ball to him. You know, there's been a lot of, and I know it's not just all hardball years, but like some of it's been very, very predictable. Let's go to Chris, who's in Parkville. Chris, you're on the fan.
Yeah, gentlemen. Good morning.
Morning.
I concur with the last two callers. And look at the team that just beat us. You look at that. They have the new head coach. And they have a defensive veteran coach that's kind of not behind the scenes, but as a consultant. And then you have Tom Coughlin. And I think that we could employ something like that. Like, I remember the old, you know, where you sweep the line and you get the running back to just pick a hole, whatever seems that, I think, would afford Derrick Henry to get a couple steps and get his. That's when he's dangerous, when he's running and he's building up a little bit of speed, and you can run some stuff off that, like have the soft side of the defense where you could do that, but have Lamar do almost like a bootleg or something.
Yeah, Chris, I appreciate the phone call. One of the things I've said, and I know, I think Harbaugh alluded to this as well, when you have a running game that's this good, you know, and you add in Lamar, that's going to put you over the top. You're going to be one of the best running games in the league and arguably in the history of the league over this period of time. But when you have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson back there in the backfield, it's like, why aren't we play action passing anymore? Why? Like, it's such a devastating thing to have those two guys and teams are trying to stuff the box. Now, all of a sudden, you fake that run, and here come the safeties and linebackers stepping up. You're one-on-one on the outside, or you have an advantage out there. I mean, come on. Like, there has to be more play action passing from this offense, and I don't know why we haven't seen it. Let's grab Kevin in Ellicott City here real quick. Kevin, you're on the fan.
Morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
So I'm kind of with the last couple callers, but I'm not necessarily a jump on Harbaugh as fast as a lot of people per se, because I'll be honest with you, with the way you see us kind of, you know, looking, not panicking, but like that last like 8 to 8, you know, 5 to 8 seconds of the play clock, we don't have no timing, no rhythm with any of that. Like, we always look like we're confused as what we're doing, and it's always down to the last second. And the only other point I want to make is, outside of the Dallas Cowboys, nobody watches football for the coaches and the owners or nothing, right? It really does just come down to the players. And it's just a shame to see a list of really good players not being their best.
Yeah. Well, hey, Kevin, appreciate the phone call, man. It is something that, you know, obviously we're going to talk quite a bit about as the season progresses. And if you were asking me today who I was going to bet on Sunday, I'd be betting on the Cowboys. There's just so much money coming in on the Ravens. And I get it because people perceive them to be the better team, and I think they are. But in this one moment, you know, and to me, it's always about situations. It's always about spots that you're going to bet and you're going to look for. When I see a pick 'em game and all the money's coming in on one side, I'm going the other way almost every single time. And, you know, last night it kind of blew up in my face with Connecticut, which we'll talk about that when we get to the daily line in the WNBA. But yeah, there's these spots that you look at, and I just don't know. I do think the Ravens are going to make them one-dimensional. I think that's kind of scary to make Dallas one-dimensional because they're going to have to throw a ton this year. They're going to be a team that's throwing 40, 50 times in a game unless their defense allows them to get ahead. Because I just looked at something about explosive runs. There's only one running back in the league that's had a certain amount of carries and doesn't have a single explosive run, and that's Ezekiel Elliott. And
well, that's just telling.
Yeah, it says a lot. So, all right, Dave in Salisbury, we'll get you in the next segment. We're going to talk some Orioles-Giants. I know you want to talk Orioles. We'll discuss all that. We're coming up on hour number three. Jeremy Kahn, Ryan Ripken here on the Big Bad Morning Show. Rob and Ed are off. Hour number three is coming up. Stay tuned.